Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
I didn't know if it was for a celebration or a religious celebration.
And good morning. Oh, we're all in the studio ready for a new month. September 2nd. Here we are live in the studio, Leading Edge Medicine. We have all the doctors in place. Dr. Jerry Mixon here and Dr. Samira Umat. You were off last week. You had some exciting things going on.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. It's kind of nice to have a Saturday.
There you go.
Here once in a while.
Well, yeah. Yes. And this is normally a Saturday that we have been off in the past, but we were all in town. It's like,
I know,
let's do it live.
Right. But you know, Dr. Pendland was here, so I thought, okay.
Yes.
Well, and of course, you always know when Samira is going to either a religious activity at the temple, or mm-hmm. she's got a marriage or something, because she always comes in with the henna.
Oh, henna hands. All,
yeah, the henna tattoos
right.
on her hands.
Oh,
the palms
yes.
of her hands are always
right.
these,
you know, Jerry,
elaborate decorations.
That's right.
In the last 13 years that I've been here, I have noticed a change, because in the beginning, I used to be a little fearful of doing this, because it would look odd to my patients, and they would ask, and then I would feel like, why do I do this, you know?
We've got an enormous number of Indians in the area.
I know, but that's in the last 13 years, it has
yeah.
increased.
Okay.
So now there's so much more awareness. Everybody's curious. And
yes.
so I've seen the transition from, oh, that looks ugly, to, oh, what is that? Show me, you know?
Yes.
It's a significant
right.
change as I remember. So.
Okay, that's
well,
good.
Of course, the nice thing about your henna tattoos is you can make
yeah.
them. They're there for a week or two.
That's right.
Yeah. Enjoy
them. And then you can change them the next week.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
When you do the traditional Western tattoos,
yeah.
they're there for life.
Yeah, if you don't like it or it
yeah.
went on.
Stuck.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're
that's
toast.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, welcome back. We're glad you're here.
Yeah.
We're all live in the studio. I'm Lynette, and we're taking your calls. And you know what? Last week we mentioned that phone number early in the show, and a lot of folks called up early in the show.
Well,
so we're going to do that again.
Give us the number again.
Okay, let's do it again. 800-465-877. 70 is our number to get through today, a Labor Day weekend. 800-465-8770. Get it. Oh, look at that. We already have a caller. So we'll get to that in just a few moments.
It's your magical voice, Lynette.
We'll see. We'll see. But here we are, not officially fall yet, but sometimes people kind of assume that Labor Day weekend is kind of the end of summer as kids get back to school
it
and
is.
Fall is here. And you got to do all the things to prep.
Go look at weather.com. It
yeah.
is the end of summer.
Yes.
You know, we're going to be summer today.
Uh-huh.
A little
cloudy tomorrow.
And
Monday.
And then it's running in the upper 60s and low 70s.
Yes.
With rain.
Yes.
There you go, with some rain.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, for whatever reason, you know.
You're getting close
to the Lord has decided this is the end of your summer.
All done.
Yeah. We're gone.
There you go. Well, pumpkin spice is in some of the coffee shops. So.
Oh, I love pumpkin spice.
Yeah, yes. They were starting that. Okay, so Dr. Mixon with his hot tea looking
Dr.
at the coffee
Mixon.
Drinkers here. Yes. I had an Aloha Mocha with half the flavor today. And it was like my last summer thing. So, okay, so 800-465-8770 if you have a question for Dr. Umat or Dr. Mixon. And, okay, so doctors, here we are looking at fall. And we're starting to see the COVID word end up in our news and social media and some other words, too, like RSV. And yeah, so what's going on
really
with all of this and mask mandates?
Well, the biggest articles I'm seeing about mask mandates is people are just determined not to comply.
Okay, that's what I'm seeing.
Will not comply.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's I will not. You know, don't bother telling me because I'm not going to do it.
I already tossed all my masks.
Yeah. So You know, so I think that they're going to have a much bigger problem forcing that on the population this time, because for one thing, the CDC has now done the studies and decided that the masks did no good.
Right.
You know, I mean, at one time they were saying, well, you got to have them. They save lives. They keep it. And now they're saying, well, actually, they were a waste of time. And so, you know,
I guess with the exception of the KN95s.
Well, no, even the KN95s, simply because it slows the spread a little bit, but you're going to get exposed. You're going to get exposed. Viruses do what viruses do. And nobody wears a KN95 24/7.
No, you do not.
They don't get out of bed and wear the damn
thing. Right. And then get a fresh one every single morning.
Well, not just that. You change it 2 and 3 times a
day.
You
should.
Yes. But it's like, there were people
So
really
nobody's
going
to go out and buy 3 a day of those things. So
I guess I was thinking more about patients with confirmed diagnosis in the hospitals that are being cared for by medical providers.
They're more careful.
They need to wear their KN95.
Well, they should. But even then, the medical providers got sick.
Sure they did. You know, absolutely they did.
I mean, essentially every single medical provider in every hospital setting that was taking care of the... They all wore their PRP, their protective equipment, and they all got turned positive. They all got infected. The reality is 100% of the people that are around people with COVID get COVID. Okay, mask or no mask. So, you know, yes, it may help you to get it next week instead of this week. But once it's in the population, we're all getting exposed. It's just the real world.
Like the flu or the cold, perhaps?
Yes. Precisely.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, you know, the mask in a research setting will do some good. But in a practical day-to-day use, it does nothing but stretch out the infection a bit. So the 2 weeks to bend the curve, okay, it maybe stretched it out 2 weeks. But it didn't help us for 2 years.
No.
All right? And by this point, everybody already has antibody. 99% of the population has antibody. We've all been exposed. We've, you know, whether we got sick or not. And so to go back and relive that fantasy is just not going to work. Now, we do have a new, very highly mutated version. It's actually got more than 30 different mutations. But what we don't know yet is it going to make people sicker? Is it going to make people less sick? Yes, it's there. And interestingly, we don't know exactly where it came from, because it's popped up simultaneously throughout the world. Everywhere. And we're finding it in the wastewater effluent. We check the sewage and stuff, and it's in Seattle, it's in Salt Lake, it's in New York, it's in Florida. But we are not seeing vast numbers of people being sick from it. So yes, it's there. Yes, you'll probably get a cold. You know, yes, if you are 87 years old, a cancer survivor with a suppressed immune response, isolate yourself. You know, but the reality is, for the rest of us, it doesn't present much of a danger, at least not that we know of at this point.
Okay. Yeah, but with the flu season coming upon us, I mean, last year there was such a big concern and it amounted to not a lot, but I still did get my flu shot last year.
I got
And
my...
I do it every year, and I'm still going to go ahead and get my flu vaccine on schedule.
Yeah, I went in and took a look at my records. I am overdue for my Tdap.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I need my flu. And my pneumococcus. So I've got 3 vaccines I do need, just because of my age and, you know, the fact that I have an active life and I'm always getting skinned and cut and bruised and bruised.
Yes. And you're flying a lot and you're around other people.
Yeah.
It could be sick.
You know, I've got a very, very active lifestyle. So I need to go get those. But I'm not planning on a COVID at this point, unless the data tells me that it is starting to kill lean, active, healthy people in my age group. You know, and if that happens, well, then, you know.
Then we'll talk.
Then I'll talk about
it.
But as for right now, no. I see absolutely no reason to get another vaccine on that.
Okay. And Dr. Mixon, you said you needed 3. Are those 3 that you can get all at the same time, or will you kind of vary them? A couple weeks out, each one?
I don't know.
Don't know. Okay.
Depends on when I get in, because you just got to wander into the pharmacy, you know, and say, I need these three. And sometimes if they're busy, they'll make an appointment to have you come back that afternoon or the next day. But, you know, you just wander in, you get your shots, and you go on your way. Some of these sting a little bit, but they're not bad. They're not, you know, they're not like the shingles.
Oh, yeah. And that's the one I still need to get. How about you, Doctor?
Yeah.
That's on our list.
So, you know, it's... I may spread it out, or I may just bite the bullet and say, okay, I'm going to take one weekend with a sore arm and two sore arms.
There you go.
Go ahead and get all three of them in one day. I don't know.
I won't go hiking this weekend.
There you go. Yes.
You know, I'll decide to give my body a break and no running that weekend or something.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. A little update there on what's going on. You ready to take some phone calls?
Let's do it.
Okay. Here is the number, 800-465-8770. And our very first caller is Tim. Good morning, Tim. Welcome. Congratulations. You're caller number one today.
How's it feel to be number one?
Number one. You're number one.
It feels awesome.
Awesome. How can we help you, Tim?
Well, a couple questions. One is, as I understand your protocol for testosterone cream, you suggest washing it up at night in order to encourage endogenous production at night, right? So you've also said that the half-life of testosterone is only 75 minutes. So I'm wondering, after 12 hours or so, wouldn't it pretty much be gone anyway?
Well, once you wash it off, as long as the cream is on your skin, it doesn't all get absorbed the moment you put it on, okay? And so, you know, it's being absorbed through the day. You put it on in the morning, and as long as you still have residual cream on your skin, you're still got it going into your bloodstream. Then you get, you know, nice warm water and soap, and you wash it off. And that's when you have that 75-minute half-life that starts dropping off.
Oh, after you wash it off.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, you wash it off in the evening, and, you know, I usually go... As I get my daughter ready for bed, you know, she gets her pajamas on, then I go take my shower. So it's usually around 7:30 or so that I do my evening shower. So by the time I go to bed, you know, mine is basically, my levels are back to my baseline.
Is that helpful, Tim?
Yeah, so it sounds like it's partially a function of... the sustained release of the base.
Right.
Am I right about that?
Yeah, we have a variety of bases we use with our patients. You know, we have some hypoallergenic bases. We have some lipid-based bases. We have, you know, vanishing cream bases. And for people that are really sensitive and maybe allergic to most creams, you know, we can ask them, well, what do you tolerate? And we can actually have the pharmacist buy that particular brand of that particular and mix the testosterone in that base. So it's okay. So it's highly variable.
Yeah. So now to take it one step further, how about if you took weekends off too, and that would
some people do
theoretically be even better, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. Yeah, but yes. For instance, let's say that in your particular marriage, let's say that your weekends are your time for passion, and you know, and you don't know, you may have sex at, you know, Saturday morning and again Sunday afternoon, and you just don't want to have to contaminate her with the testosterone. So maybe you won't use it on the weekend, and that's your playtime. Right. Sure.
Right. So my theory that I just come up with on my own is that if I'm taking weekends off. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the gym and work out hard, that would encourage my own production even more.
To some extent, yes. Working muscle increases testosterone production, and testosterone production increases working muscle. So it's a virtuous cycle. But as we age, the amount of testosterone that our aging testicles can produce is declining. So you have the working muscle that is a stimulus, but you also have a limitation of an elderly failing gland that can, you know, not respond as well as a youthful gland can.
Which would then cause more muscle pain after a strenuous workout with not enough testosterone on board.
Right, yeah.
Okay. One more question on testosterone. I think are not that concerned about DHT levels.
Mm-hmm. No, we used to be.
Some people are. What is your thinking on this?
Well, we used to be very concerned about DHT. We were thinking that, you know, high DHT was what was causing the prostate to enlarge. And so because they had the DHT blockers that would eventually cause some prostatic shrinkage. And so that 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I was very concerned about not raising DHT too high. I was also very concerned about not raising estrogens too high.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. But both of those have changed. There's now some studies in which they've actually followed men and boosted their DHTs on purpose and followed them along for a year or so, and they don't see any change in the rate of prostate growth.
Mm-hmm.
So depriving the prostate of its DHT will indeed cause it to shrink. But raising DHT seems to have minimal effect. Probably more germane for most of us as we age is our declining progesterone levels. You know, we think of progesterone as a woman's hormone because it is involved in a woman's menstrual cycle. They peak their progesterone to prepare the uterus for conception and implantation of the egg into the uterine wall. But it turns out young men also have robust progesterone levels. And in men, the progesterone inhibits the estrogen receptors from immortalizing the epithelial cells in the prostate. And as we age and our progesterone levels are dropping, the body fat is converting our testosterone to estrogen. The estrogen is triggering the receptors in the prostate to immortalize the cells and make them live longer and cause the prostate to start growing larger. Okay. We got to break that from that music, but we'll be back after that. And we can finish this up, okay?
Yep, we'll finish it up, Tim, and then we'll go to Steve and Michael in just a moment. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there, I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon in the studio. Here's that number to call to get through. It's 800-465-8770. Yes, we are live in the studio talking with Tim about testosterone and all those types of things.
You know, Tim, doctors are like every other human being. We tend to rely on appeals to authority. Somebody important once said something, and that becomes the conventional wisdom, and it gets passed down to generation after generation of doctors until somebody says, wait a minute, why does that make sense? Mm. So the thought has always been that, you know, testosterone gets converted to dehydrotestosterone, and the dehydrotestosterone is what gave us big prostates when we got old, right?
Okay.
But now think about it. Who has high testosterone and high dehydrotestosterone? Is it old men or young men?
Young men.
I would think young men.
It's young men.
Yeah,
it's 18-year-old
right.
boys.
Yeah.
Do they get the big prostates?
No.
The old men with low testosterone and relatively low DHT get the big prostates. So why are we thinking that as testosterone goes down and DHT goes down, prostate goes up, and that somehow that lower level is causing the big prostate when the high levels didn't? That makes no sense. It's totally irrational. Mm. And yet it has been the conventional wisdom in medicine for generations.
Okay.
I wonder if at some point, Dr. Mixon, you will become that authority that people rely on. He said that in 2023, and now everybody believes it.
There you go. They better believe it. Hey, Tim, we got to run to the next caller, but thank you for your call.
Yep, okay.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you on the next show, Tim.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yep. Headed to Steilacoom now. We have Steve on the line.
Good morning.
Hi there, Steve.
Good morning.
Hi. I have a 55-year-old friend that 2 weeks ago just got diagnosed with stage zero DCIS. Mm-hmm. The tumor is a grade 2 with a 4.7 centimeters, and they're telling her that
4.7 centimeters?
That's big. Hang on. It must be millimeters.
Centimeters. Or, yeah, maybe millimeters.
Must be millimeters, because centimeters,
that's big.
That's almost 2 inches. So that would not be ductal carcinoma in situ. Okay, so
yeah, that's what she wrote. That's what she wrote down. So maybe it is millimeters.
Okay,
but they're saying that they want to put her on estrogen blockers for like 10 years or something like that. And you know, and I mentioned like maybe get a second opinion. But what is this?
Well, ductal carcinoma in situ, stage zero, used to be treated 20, 30 years ago as though it were an aggressive cancer. Right now, for the last 10 years, the question has been, should we even call it a cancer or not? That name scares people. Ductal carcinoma in situ, that word carcinoma. But it's not yet a cancer. It is a change, an abnormal change, a dysplastic change. That is, the cells are no longer normal, but they're also not yet a cancer. And in most women, it will never progress to become a cancer. Okay. So if that were my wife, I would be looking really askance and saying, you know what? I want a second and third opinion because that's the way it used to be done. It strikes me as real overkill unless there's something about that. Now, when you say, you know, 4 centimeters, okay, well, you're 2.5 centimeters to the inch, that would be a massive big tumor. That would not be in situ. That would be invasive. That would replace the entire nipple. Mm. You know.
Okay. Yeah.
So something is amiss with your numbering, but. Yeah, definitely get a second opinion with that, because the estrogen blockers, they're going to age her 10 years in one. Her bones are going to thin out. She'll develop osteoporosis. Her brain function will decline. Her skin will look like she's 80. The side effects of estrogen blockers on women are horrendous. Bad stuff happens when we treat them with this way, because they're designed to have estrogen. Mm. And the estrogen receptors are in their brain, in their skin, in their lung, in their heart, in their bones. And when you block all of that, like I said, a lot of really nasty stuff starts happening to these poor women. Mm-hmm. And so I would be looking at a much more localized, regionalized. I'll tell you, she may not want to travel this far, but I can tell you who I would really want her to see is Dr. Glazier.
Oh, yeah, in Ohio.
In Ohio, yes. I'd put my wife on an airplane and fly her to Ohio if I was getting that kind of recommendation from her doctor. Mm. Okay, because Dr. Glazier has got some wonderful data on breast cancer. She's a breast cancer specialist who has treated this sort of thing locally with wonderful results.
I mean, she has published her data extensively and has used pellet therapies for testosterone and has shown regression of tumor. And, you know, she's reached numbers where I dare not do anything close to that in my patients, transdermally with testosterone. We don't do pellets, first of all, but even transdermally.
Well, I've told you you can if you want to.
Have you?
Yes.
Is that an okay?
That's an okay.
All right. You're all witness.
Yay!
He said okay. All right. I'm on a new mission now.
Yeah. But Dr. Glazier has taken women who had actually great big lobar cancers, the big aggressive ones, tumors that really were 2 and 3 inches across, and just put pellets with an aromatase inhibitor and testosterone in the breast and just watch that tumor shrivel up and go away. You know, so
because it's just affecting the tumor, right?
Yeah.
And not the whole body.
Yeah,
as
well, much. You absorb some into the rest of the body.
It will,
but not nearly as much.
Okay. Right.
Because you get a high concentration right where you put it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she's getting some fabulous results.
But the thing is that the testosterone prevents some of the systemic side effects of chemotherapy,
right,
and of estrogen blocking. So where with the aromatase inhibitors that he's talking about, she's going to have all the side effects that Dr. Mixon mentioned. With the testosterone therapy, she's still going to be able to maintain her bones, her muscle mass, her skin, and she will have some acne maybe and some other side effects.
That's
but
right.
Overall, it will mitigate the negative side effects of estrogen blockers.
The trade-offs, I think, are far more favorable
sure
for
they
the
are.
Woman.
Sure. Okay.
So at any rate, that's who I would go see. If my wife was getting that kind of recommendation, I'd want a second opinion, and Dr. Glazer is who I'd use.
Yeah. Dr. Rebecca Glazer, MD. She's a breast surgeon.
Her fingers, I mean, she's already got arthritis in her fingers. They're kind of crooked at 55. And so that's wow. already like, you know, I told her to give you guys a call. You know, I don't know if you can do anything about the cancer, but everything else, you'll have information for her for sure.
Well, and even with the cancer, as you see, we have information. We just don't treat it ourselves.
Right.
So, but we refer.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, sir. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. We are taking another call, this time headed to Mill Creek. If you have a phone question, here is our phone number, 800-465-8770. Hi there, Michael. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Michael.
Hi. Thank you. Good morning, Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. It's a real honor and privilege to be able to speak with you this morning. I'd like to ask about someone's biorhythms and body cycle at birth.
Okay.
A favorite uncle of mine who inspired me over the years, he was a captain with American Airlines for over 25 years. He explained back years ago that during a lot of international flights many years ago, that the captain and crew would be scheduled to in their up cycles. And he inspired me to become a flight instructor myself. I tried to schedule my students check rides over the 18 years during their up cycles. And I only had a handful of students that seemed like, you know, didn't pass their check ride on the first try. And
good.
I know that, Dr. Mixon, you're a pilot yourself, so I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But I would be interested, you know, about someone's physical, emotional, and intellectual cycle and their up cycle and down cycles and how that works with the body clock. And can that change over the years from when we're born?
Yes,
and
it does.
I will. Yes, Dr.
Yeah, it changes. You know, infants are on a very, very rapid cycle, and that's why, you know, they're feeding about every 2 hours, and they spend most of their 24-hour day sleeping. You know, they wake up to eat, and they go back to sleep to grow.
They eat, when they
wake
poop.
Up to eat. And that's right. They eat, they sleep, they peep, they poop. That's about it.
Yes.
You know. You know, as we get older, our cycles lengthen out. We need less and less sleep. You know, 10-year-olds or so are still requiring 11, 12 hours sleep a night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by the time we're in our late 20s, early 30s, most of us are down to 7 or 8 hours a night. Yeah.
And then as we get older, we need more.
And some of us need more. Yeah, well, you know, older folks go one of two ways. They either need more or they can't sleep as much.
Well, they take naps all day long then.
Precisely, yes.
Oh, there you go. They're dozing off. Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
In the chair.
And they often find that, you know, when they have lunch, they get drowsy after lunch, and they go down. So yes, the cycles change through our lives, and they change basically, you know, in relationship to our age, to the degree of physical activity, to the light-dark cycles. People who live far north live in a very different cycle than people that are near the equator.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a dynamic process, and our bodies kind of set themselves to what their situation and their environment requires over time.
Mm.
You know, pilots and air crew, especially with jets, now that they can go across time zones so fast, they're a unique group. yeah, because their bodies are losing all of the standard sort of cues. They take off in the morning and they fly 12 hours and it's still morning.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
sure, yeah.
And the poor human body is not designed for that. Our body doesn't know what the heck to do with it. Mm. So, yes, they need a lot more aggressive interventions to kind of get themselves in tune, because it has been shown that reaction times get longer and problem-solving skills drop. Your IQ, your executive functions in which you're able to assess accurately and intervene with changing situations goes downhill the more time zones you go across.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so,
I guess just as to kind of follow up, I know that these stories about biorhythms on 2020 news, the 48 hours, I know it was kind of been written in the Wall Street Journal over the years. But my question that I'm getting to is this uncle of mine, he and my aunt, his wife, they happen to have been born on the very same day, in the very same year. And to our family and many people who knew them, can those cycles last a lifetime? Because they absolutely have seemed like every step of the way, year after year, the happiest two people on earth.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
That is awesome. And,
well, tell you what, we've got to take a break. But when I come back, we'll address long-term couples and their cycles.
Okay.
Great.
Biorhythm cycles. Okay, I like this. I don't think we've had a question like this before. We'll continue. You stay on the line with us, Michael, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine right after this. Stay there.
After driving out the memory of the way things might have been,
the song remembers when. Beautiful song there. Dr. Mixon, you picked that one out. I like that.
I did.
Yes.
Actually, this whole bunch of the country music I picked out.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon, talking with Michael about biorhythm cycles.
When I get into biorhythms and couples being in sync and so on, I sometimes feel I'm moving from the medical to the metaphysical.
Oh, for sure. You know, there are realms out there that we don't understand or know about.
Yes.
But I'm sure some people have a sense for them.
They do. And, I know that there are people that are matched for other people.
Mm.
And I always admire those couples that meet in adolescence and, you know, at 85, they're still together. And when one dies, the other leaves within a week or two to join them. I mean, And I never know quite what to think about it. I admire it when it happens.
Mm.
I kind of shake my head in sorrow when couples are poorly matched and struggle to stay together when it's obvious to everybody around them that they'd be better off without one another.
Mm. Yeah.
Because there are those couples.
Yeah, mm-hmm, sure.
You know. And of course, my wife comes from a very different culture than me. She's Chinese. And the Chinese have their own astrology sort of system.
Mm-hmm.
They do 12 animals, but then they also do four earth signs with the animals.
Mm.
So they have air, fire, water, and earth.
Okay.
So each animal, for instance, my daughter is a water dragon.
Mm.
I am the fire pig.
The fire pig.
The fire pig.
Let's see you as a fire pig.
And my wife is the wood rabbit.
Okay.
And the fire pig ignites the wood rabbit,
okay.
But they're both domestic animals. The pig symbolizes affluence and stability and hard work and prosperity and long life.
Okay.
Which kind of fits me reasonably
well.
That fits you,
yes.
Rabbits, are are also domestic creatures, but they're very, very fast, and they explore, and they go here and there. And so, and of course, that fits her background of traveling the world, you know, on a gambling ship for 3 years and then a motorcycle across Europe and stuff. But also very domestic. And our daughter, being the water dragon, is a creature of both water, earth, and air, you know, and the dragon meaning strength, wisdom, and good fortune. Mm. So we'll see where her future goes.
Yeah.
So, you know, every culture has their their way of conceptualizing the metaphysical, those aspects of us that are not easily measurable. And I don't know which ones are accurate or not. You know, I enjoy the Chinese one just because I happen to be deeply in love with a Chinese woman. So, and our signs happen to fit us.
Yeah.
But who knows? You know, do we fit the signs? Do the signs fit us? Do we switch our conceptual to match our own personal reality? I don't know. So I don't know what goes on with a couple like you're describing. It's just it's good fortune. You know, they led a blessed life,
right?
And you know, they should give thanks to whatever deities they worship, and express gratitude every day, because there's nothing better than to be with someone that you love and value, and who enhances your life and gives you the opportunity to enhance theirs.
For sure.
So,
is that helpful for you, Michael?
Yes, and for over 60 years, you know, it's just been such a pleasure to see someone, you know, that a couple, you know, that just seems like, you know, that they just love every minute with each other every single day. On a side note, Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umatz,
sure.
I have a truck. I have two strong hands. When you're in the process of moving, I know it sounds like it's coming up. And I know that you and Dr. Umatz are here for us. And I think, you know, we as a listening audience, I'd be happy to come down and help move a few boxes.
Oh, that's so nice, Michael. You're so kind.
Thank you,
that is
thank
so
you.
Sweet.
I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for that, you. Michael. And thank you for your call.
All right. Have a wonderful day, sir.
Yeah, good luck, Michael.
Enjoy the last days of summer.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Take care. Thank you for calling.
This is Leading Edge Medicine. You call now, you'll get in the queue quickly to get your questions answered today about your health, aging, maybe a diagnosis. Here's that number, 800-465-8770. Tony now calling from Tacoma. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Tony.
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I have a question about stem cells, because I know you know a lot about them. And I read an article not long ago about them enhancing a male's member. You can actually enhance a male member with stem cells. Is that? Oh, it is a possibility.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was possible at all.
Samara is sitting here raising her eyebrows, trying to figure out, by male member, he means the penis. Oh,
yes. Right.
She just now blushed and covered her mouth. So,
okay.
She is a very shy Hindu wife.
I was thinking that she was thinking member like member of longevity or something.
That's
like that,
I'm so. Sure that's yes. where her mind went.
Well,
there you go.
I am that too.
Yes. Yeah, there are people that have a variety of ways to enhance and recover the aging process and that particular male member. You know, it's like every other part of our body that goes downhill with age. Mm-hmm. You know? And the corpus cavernosum, the area that fills with blood and causes the expansion and the firmness, well, that can, with disuse, actually atrophy. And so men that are having less and less frequent sex, just as if you're not exercising, your muscles get smaller and weaker. If you're not having frequent intercourse, if you're not having frequent erections, then that area of the penis also shrivels up and atrophies. Also with aging, there's changes in the blood supply. You know, the arterial supply that pumps the blood in under high pressure to distend and fill that thing, you get atherosclerosis, and the vessels get narrower and they don't expand as well because your nitrous oxide levels are lower. And so with lower nitric oxide, not nitrous, nitrous oxide is laughing gas.
Yes, yeah.
Nitric oxide production in the arteries goes down. So you lose that expansion of the artery. So you don't get as big, a robust blood supply. The valves in the vein at the other end of that system are supposed to close and trap the blood in the penis. And that's why the blood flows in and it can't get out. And that's why you get, but those valves can start to leak. And so even if you've got a good blood supply going in, if you've got leaky valves going out, you're not going to have as good an erection. Mm. And so you got a lot of stuff going on. The nerves that trigger the erection, that sympathetic, parasympathetic discharge. You know, you have to get a parasympathetic discharge to trigger the beginnings of the erection. But then at the end with orgasm, you get a sympathetic discharge that then tells everything to open up and relax. So that sympathetic, parasympathetic balance in your neurologic system is aging and is less robust. So you get a whole lot of stuff going on that can go wrong and cause men to have lower libido, lower interest in sex, and lower mechanical ability to function. And there's a fair number of things we can do to try to rejuvenate and to improve that. We can raise nitric oxide levels. That's what most of the ED drugs do. They are phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitors, and phosphodiesterase 5 is one of those things that gets rid of your nitric oxide. And so by inhibiting that, when you do make the nitric oxide, you keep it longer. Your blood levels are higher, and that then allows the blood vessels to dilate more efficiently. And that helps at least with the arterial supply of the thing. But you still got the venous side to worry about. If you've got a leak, then they make an elastic ring that actually puts some gentle compression around the base of the penis. You just slide that ring down and tighten it up. And that then won't let the blood go out as easily, and it will help you to maintain a better erection if with nitric oxide we can get the blood into the penis. The corpus cavernosum, that part that, and the spongiosum, those areas that fill with blood and cause the erection, they atrophy over time, but there is what we call a training effect. The more erections you have and the more robust they are, that will actually come back. That stimulation will cause that to wake up and start doing. Just like exercising will make your muscles stronger. More frequent erections lead to better and more frequent erections. So it becomes a virtuous cycle. So there's a lot of stuff we can do. We can use the sound wave therapies with our Viasure that will help to rejuvenate mechanically the penis itself, and that's why we treat men with a Viasure in our clinic. We've got medicines, we've got mechanical aids, we've got soundwave therapies. We got a lot of stuff we can do.
But he was asking also
about
stem cells.
There are supplements that raise nitric oxide, for instance.
Yes.
The Neo 40.
And we measure the levels in the office before we prescribe them.
Yeah, so we can actually measure your level, your production of nitric oxide, and we can give you supplements that help it. And also, of course, you've got the hormone therapies. We've got the dehydroepiandrosterone and the testosterone levels to alter the way your brain is functioning. So your drive and ambition and desire for intercourse goes back up. So there's a whole lot we can do. And yes, stem cells are sometimes used. It's kind of a pricey way to do it, but I know there are doctors around the country that are doing it. You know, I don't think Dan Nelson has ever done it that way. But hey, Dan, if you're listening, call. Tell me what you know about autologous stem cell use with penis injections. Maybe nothing, maybe a lot, but I'd be interested to hear from my stem cell guy.
Yeah, there you go. Helpful, Tony?
It's always interesting to listen to you, Dr. Mixon.
Oh, yes, it is.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye.
We'll take a quick break. Lines are open, and you can get through with your phone call, too, right now at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Medicine, getting all sorts of calls today, and we would love to talk with you. Perhaps a diagnosis that has come through you don't quite understand, or maybe it's kind of scary to you. You'd like to have it explained, or something that a friend is going through. You don't really know what's happening. Of course, Longevity sponsors the show here with Leading Edge Medicine, and we specialize in aging, because once we are born, we are aging. Yes, and I think when you're in your teens and 20s and 30s, you're not really thinking about it until that first gray hair pops up or you see the first wrinkle, and then it's like, okay, well, you know what? You don't have to be normal, as the doctor says, when you go in for what are those aches? What are those pains? Why do I feel this way? Why am I gaining weight? There are things that can be done, and that's where Longevity steps in. And we would love to have you come in, like so many have, and become a patient of Longevity. Well, that is, if you want to be leaner,
stronger, faster, smarter, sexier, and happier.
Yes, this is the place to come, because we are all aging.
Your goal in life is to get slow, weak, fat, dumb, and sexless. Well, you don't need us.
You don't need us. No.
You're headed there.
That's right. And you will succeed. But not in a good way. No. If you could be healthier, happier, stronger, leaner, smarter, sexier, wouldn't you want to do everything that you can to achieve that? That's why here at Longevity, we still offer the free health analysis appointment. And this is basically just an introduction of who we are at Longevity. You come in and we get some information from you, some medical information, and then do two tests, a blood test and an in-body test. And that will let our doctors know what's going on, why you're at risk, or how you could be at risk for different things like diabetes, dementia, cancers, heart disease, brain shrinkage, Alzheimer's, joint degeneration, all of those wonderful things that happen as we age. We want to help you get through that and be the best that you can be.
You know, this might be a good time to read the social media post that I saw.
Oh, yes, yes, you saw something. I love that.
It was so funny. I had to take a photograph and put it in my pictures. So here goes. It says, OMG, I'm rich. And then she goes on to say, silver in the hair, gold in the teeth, crystals in the kidney, sugar in the blood, lead in the butt, iron in the arteries, and an inexhaustible supply of natural gas. I never thought I'd accumulate such wealth.
Well, it's true.
It is true.
It was just funny. You got to laugh. You know, we're talking about aging, and we're talking about what happens to us naturally as we are getting older. And then this, I never thought of it this way.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill Cosby back in the 60s did these records.
Oh, yes.
And he was, in those days, we were considering, you know, America's dad. He was he was a delightful figure.
And the pudding pop guy.
Yeah. And he did stuff, you know, that was just, we could all relate to.
Yeah.
But then when he was about 50 or so, he did a comedy routine that your comment about your first gray hair, you know, triggered in my mind. Because Bill Cosby said, I didn't mind it so much when I had my first gray hair. The one that bothered me was my first gray pubic hair.
Oh, yeah. And that happens, right, Dr. Mixon? Wow. We all grow old. We all face these things. We're laughing because we've all experienced
that. Well, next time when you think about gray, think about silver, okay, guys?
That's right. Silver.
Silver.
I like that. Silver.
Silver,
because
yes.
I claim to just be very blonde now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go. There you go.
I was a platinum little towhead when I was...
Oh, you were,
platinum. Up to about the age of two. Yeah, my hair was just, you know, silver white. Uh-huh. And then in my teens, it started to become more of a blonde. And then in my 30s, it was kind of a light brown. But I started turning gray in my early 30s because my hair didn't have a lot of melanin to start with.
Okay.
You know? Right. And when you don't have a lot to start with, it fades away faster. So, you know, I am currently just white, silver, clear. I mean, it's translucent.
So, yeah. Okay. Platinum to silver.
That's right.
Yes. But we want to age with you. We want to grow old with you and help you be the best that you can be. That's why we offer these two free tests, the free health analysis. And you can make your appointment one of two ways. Give us a call. Here is that number. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online. That's kind of easy, too. Plus, you'll get an introduction to the doctors, see some videos. We even have all of our radio broadcasts there, a collection for you, so you can listen back to past shows. Go to lmclinic.com. Now, when you get there, click on free health analysis. There's a little button there, and you can pick the day and the time that work best for your busy schedule. And we have three clinics. There's got to be one near you. Linwood, Tacoma, and Kirkland. And Kirkland in about, 3 weeks or so?
This is the month.
Wow.
Here we are. Ready or not.
Bigger and better. And we welcome you to come join us.
Yeah. I was upstairs yesterday talking to the workman and pointed out that, you know, you've got to have this ready.
Right.
So they're actually working through the weekend. They're putting the flooring in today.
Okay.
So they tell me that by Tuesday, when my team comes back to work, they said the carpets and hardwood and everything should be in on the floors. And
oh, that's nice to hear.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Jenny said she saw the carpet color and she was quite happy. So I said, okay.
Very good. That's at our Kirkland Clinic. We're very excited about this. We've been talking about it. Now it's happening. We were waiting on so many different permits and things that we had that were out of our control. But now it's happening and you can come experience longevity at our brand new clinic in Kirkland. Or if Tacoma or Linwood are closer, go there. We would love to meet you, love to see you, and get you started on your health journey. Again, the phone number, 866-86-YOUNG, and online, it's lmclinic.com. Now, Dr. Mixon, you started the clinic 25 years ago. And what was your vision for longevity when you first started it?
First, it was survive.
Yes.
Yeah, when I started this clinic, you know, I was already working 70 hours a week as a country doctor. And so I leased some space up here in Kirkland. And when we opened the clinic, I would work the day as my family practice, and then I would drive 2 hours up here. And I couldn't afford a motel, so I slept on the floor under my desk, got up the next morning, washed up in the public restroom, saw what few patients I had managed to attract in the morning, and drove home at noon and worked until 10 o'clock that night to keep the bills paid. Mm. You know, it was a shoestring operation in the beginning. So there was just me and my girlfriend to start with.
Wow. And then it grew and you expanded.
Clinics, and now we're putting in this big fancy place upstairs because my plan is to develop a national practice now and start bringing in some senior executives from around the country.
Well, you have so many patients that have since moved, but still call, like Tim from Texas and others around the country will call because they don't need to come in to the clinic every week.
No, especially the telemedicine we can do now. You know, the new state law, now who knows what the governors are going to do to us, but you know, it used to be we had to see the person in person every year. Mm-hmm. And then with COVID,
that changed.
They freed up the telemedicine. So now we have to see them initially, but then we can do them telemedicine for up to 3 years before they have to come back and be seen in person again.
Okay.
And so we can treat people anywhere in the country if they'll come to us to start with establish that what the state considers a doctor-patient relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can do telemedicine with remote blood draws.
There you go.
For the next 3 years, which, you know, is a real advantage when it comes then to treating our patients nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's... Things are changing, and we change with it.
Yes. Yes, we do. Longevity, the phone number to call is 866-86-YOUNG. We also have online lmclinic.com. We're going to go to break, take a quick break here, and we'll be back with our number two of Leading Edge Medicine. And we have Cindy to talk to, and we'll be back with your calls as well. Phone lines are open at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Get on the phone, get in, and we'll talk with you about your questions in just a moment.